adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Dish Bash Bible. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Holiday.
Drew, you said a word when I was drinking it.
Holiday evening.
It took a beat, but it was good.
Let me finish it.
I'm just saying. Hold on a second.
It's a letter day, a red letter day. I'll grant you. I actually spoke during your drinking. I didn't act like some sort of marionette.
True, that's
what do they call those things? The dummies?
So normally we talk over each other for a long time, and then I lean over and take a little sip of something, and then there's about 4 seconds of dead air, and then I come back, and then you start talking when I come back.
So I've decided from now on.
You took a three count and said so.
From now on, I'm going to say so when you drink.
All right, good.
Just to prove that you are not actually the ventriloquist behind me.
Here we go. Here
ready?
We go. I'm going to take a sip. I'm going to take a sip.
So it's a holiday.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you would think on a holiday there'd be no traffic on the freeway, wouldn't you?
Well, here's what I would think. I know where you're going with this. There was not much traffic earlier today, about 3 or 4 o'clock.
That's
at
true.
Least it seemed to me.
Yeah, it was around right.
And
around.
I figure people would be doing, God knows what you do on Easter these days. But then I would figure that at 9, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, people would be coming back from coming out of town. And
But you wouldn't think it to be just jammed in the freeway.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Crowded. It was crowded.
And then another thing shocked me tonight. I heard you use the word shun. You were talking to one of your friends as you walked in here. I thought, you must shun him.
Yes.
And I thought,
to shun.
Oh, my God. I've never heard a human with an X and a Y chromosome.
That's a dude.
Less.
Hold on, Chris, that's a dude.
A dude with seemingly excessive male characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Shun.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you get
older. Gay.
You get older, you start producing
estrogen,
more estrogen.
All right,
you
I'll buy that.
Learn to shun.
Oh, good. Okay, good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think this is a follow-on to last week when we had Cuthbert in here.
Yes.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah.
And she told you were too old.
Yeah.
And your testes just shriveled
started.
Up. The estrogen went up.
That
and
was
now
an
you're
iron.
Shunning.
That was an iron-shanked boot right
nice.
In the groin.
Well, and that shut down the testosterone, and now you're shunning.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Too old.
You were shy.
that was rough. Yeah, Alicia Cuthbert was in here. I don't know. She was 21.
She's 21.
You know,
baby,
my whole
child.
Thing about Hollywood, though, is that if you're a successful guy like myself, you should be able to date
you and Tony
Zygos.
Curtis. Yeah, you and Tony Curtis be dating Zygos.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No,
well, anyway.
Just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
And guess who's back?
Yeah. Engineer Anderson. Going to just dump a little salt in our wound.
Yeah.
All right. So Ron Perlman coming in here tomorrow night. He is Hellboy. Hellboy, number one at the box office last week, and then it went down to number two because...
Because everyone went to see The Passions for Easter.
Right.
Yeah.
And I imagine it'll go back, if there's any God, it'll go back to number one again.
How'd the girl next door do? Anderson?
I don't know, because maybe Anderson will know.
Can you look that up?
I know Alamo didn't do all that great, and there was a couple other movies I can't remember.
I was thinking to myself that this New York Minute thing that I worked on with the Olsen twins had better do well, because they are spending a fortune
on advertising.
Oh, my God.
I've just seen one billboard so far.
Yeah, but I've seen a 100 television commercials.
Oh, really?
And every time I go to the movie theater, the trailer.
Are you in the trailer?
In the movies.
But
the movie.
Not on the TV?
Not on the TV.
All right. That's still pretty good.
That's good times.
Yeah, that's good. Well, maybe it will be a big hit.
We'll see.
Why shouldn't it be?
Got the Olsen twins.
Yeah, this girl's, they put varnish on it, make paperweights out of it, make $10 million a year. Everything that comes out of them turns a profit. Do you understand?
Yeah.
They lacquer their Duke. They sell it as paper. They stamp their initials in it. They sell them as paperweights. They made $9.87 million, almost $10 million last year, just
On Duke,
on loose-sided Duke.
And now I know why they're not coming on the show.
That's right. Now listen, they're not coming on the show because they're faggoty. Whatever they got, their publicists are horrible. It's nothing
Anderson.
To do with them. Go ahead, Anderson.
Girl Next Door came in 10th spot.
Not bad.
Six. How much?
$6 million.
$6 million.
That's about what they were predicting. Seventh.
They were. It's ten. An Alamo came in. What was the order, Anderson? Do you have it?
Yeah, it's behind me, so hold on.
All right, screw it.
Passion of His Christness.
Yes.
Hellboy.
Well, Chris looking at it.
Chris knows it.
Yeah. The Family Vacation.
Oh, the Family Alamo. Vacation. Alamo, yeah.
Walking Tall.
Oh,
the remake.
Yeah, sure.
Not the original.
Yeah.
Home on the Range, which is the new Disney, Disney little color cartoon there.
All right.
There we go.
I'm bored.
Scooby-Doo 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not bad.
You saw that.
We got to get Matthew back up here. I did take my kids to it, and I really thought it was quite, really, I didn't get that, oh, my God, I'm wasting my life feeling, which I get most films that I see with kids. And Matthew did an amazing job this time. Yeah. I mean, he really sort of has a facility now with that character.
He's a gifted Taz fan.
Well, he's...
No, look, here's what happens. I swear to Christ, you're right. In my book, we got all these actors who are playing some gimp with a easel in front of them doing a little painting, and everyone applauds because the guy has a lisp and he only has the use of one eye. And all of a sudden, we got to give Daniel Day-Lewis another Oscar. To me, the tall order is being Jim Morrison, yeah, or being Shaggy.
Yes, yeah.
Like, if you said to me, hey, do you think you could portray a struggling gay painter? I'd say, yeah, give me a month. I could probably work something up for you.
Right.
But if they said you could do Shaggy, I'd just be like, we got to go, Daddy-O. And it'd be the lamest thing in the world.
It's bringing something to life that has a very stringent experience, right? We all know what it is.
Yeah.
And you better bring it out exactly the way we expect it, or it's not going to work.
No, I know. I mean, here, seriously, he is Shaggy.
Yeah.
And he's laughed at in the Hollywood community. Yeah,
is he really?
Well, no. I mean, yeah.
I mean, but it's not considered a serious role.
It's considered lightweight fluff, which it is. But in terms of the, it is a tall order. You know what I mean? It's a lightweight nothing movie, but actually becoming this guy was a cartoon.
Huge.
Yeah, doing the voice exactly right, the mannerisms and whatever. He doesn't have a guy to go off of. He has a cartoon to go off of.
Right. And this time, he had a facility with it that really I thought was kind of nice. Very gracious.
Yeah, give him an Academy Award.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
I'm with you. Yes?
Yeah, here's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
What's her name? Anderson's got to get the best supporting role on my cousin Vinny. Marissa Tomei.
10 years ago.
Okay. Well, the point is she's just playing some Jersey chick. She's probably from there.
Right.
Here's the big thing. Chew some gum while you talk. There you go. I don't know. To me, playing Shaggy would be a taller order.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Let's see Marissa Tomei play Shaggy. Uh-huh.
See, it shows how tall that order is. Here we go.
Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all energy left over from Val Kilmer being snubbed for the Doors movie, which I think he should have won the Oscar for. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Got kind of a list of problems, but I'll start you off with the basics. Since about September, I've had a really bad problem of going out and trying to find some other girls cheating on my girlfriend. But the thing is, if I just can't find it, I'll go and pay for it.
How long has that been going on for?
Since September of last year.
And how often do you do it?
I've probably been with about 15 different women.
All of them prostitutes, or?
Yeah. Well, that's just prostitutes.
Just prostitutes. All right. What's the
question? How much does the average prostitute run?
Probably average is about 200 to 250.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Hold on a second. Drew and I were laughing last week about that show, Hookers on the Brink. Is it on the brink or on the edge?
Whatever.
Never can remember it. Maybe Anderson knows. It's like HBO, a Showtime show where they just follow hookers around. They mic them up. They get in the car. The Johns get into the car with them. It's like, okay, sugar, $15 for BJ, $20 for sex. And then you hear the guy go, come on, girl. You got to do me better than that. So I was like, $20 for sex, huh? You flip the guy at the airport $20 for grabbing your bag.
What are you trying to say?
maybe I should be getting more. I'm just saying, trying to talk someone down from a $15 BJ. What do you want? Okay, you're right.
$14.95.
No, you're right. This is grossly inflated. It's about $8. $8 or $9. Really?
The chick's got gap teeth and she's missing an eye.
All right. It is true. It is true that they're like, you know, the factory seconds, so to speak, of hookers. I mean, this isn't your, you know, high class call girl. This ain't what's her nose from Pretty Woman.
Right.
But, Julia, but still, they're in their 20s. They're reasonably built. They're not missing any limbs. I just like the fact that the guy's going to haggle with them over the $20 BJ. $20.
And then the other thing we're amazed by is that them in their car with their voice, license plate pixeled out.
Right.
You can let that go in the air?
Has no idea. Yeah. That 5 years of doing the man show, if I wanted to wear a pair of goddamn Nikes, I had to put a piece of tape over the Nike. Otherwise, we'd get sued. And they just hide the cameras, have the chick go in. Sit there. You hear the guy's voice. You see his, you know, he drives a green beat up Cherokee or Gremlin with Bondo on one of the fenders. You don't think his wife just could sit home and sees his car pull up and hears his voice? And as Drew mentioned on the way to the bathroom, his preference too.
What?
Like how much extra for the thumb? You know what I mean? Like when the wife, like if your wife, you're passionate, Mandra, if your wife would know what you were ordering. You know what I mean? It's like
to recognize your order.
Yeah, like they look.
Like if you went to the
if they look at a receipt from a restaurant
right.
that you ate at with two people, you'd go, "Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he's a BLT guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he gets." Yeah. All right. Hey, good times.
Yeah, good times. So, Steve, what is your question for us?
Like, I really, the girl I'm with, I have a steady girlfriend for past year and a half.
No, Steve,
and,
right, Steve,
just break up with her. Would you, idiot?
What is the question?
I need to get some help to, like, stop this.
All right. Let me ask you some simple questions. Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Are you an alcoholic or addict?
No.
You've never been addicted to a substance?
No, my mom's a cokehead and does marijuana. My dad's kind of an alcoholic as it is, so I tried to steer clear of that growing up.
All right. But you were not abused in any way?
No.
Are you a Mormon?
It really started, like, the whole thing really started when I got back from Iraq. Like, as I got back, me and my girlfriend had a whole lot more problems. And then I kind of lost the unit I was in. And, I lost some friends overseas on her birthday. And when I got back, I was transferred out of the unit. And I went to the whole other side of the country. And that's where it happened.
What happened?
That's when I started looking for other women. Yeah, that's when the prostitutes
All right,
started.
Well, this may be, you know, sometimes people, just like starting to use drugs, they will use sex as a way of trying to manage overwhelming feelings. And this may be sort of a way to conceptualize this as a post-traumatic stress disorder of types.
Yeah.
That you had this horrible experience in Iraq. You now can't, you know, it's too scary to be intimate. You have all these overwhelming feelings.
Doesn't everyone who goes to Iraq have a horrible experience? Do you have to say you had a horrible experience in Iraq, or could you just say, I've been to Iraq?
I think I've been to Iraq is enough, but he had a horrible experience.
If you come back in a body bag,
that's
then,
an extra horrible
then we should
experience.
Say something about it. If you just went to Iraq and came back, we'll assume you had a horrible experience.
I'm imagining not everyone is in battle, in combat. Not everyone loses friends.
No.
And that's what this guy did.
Not everybody. No. I just mean everybody in Iraq having a horrible experience.
Yeah, I
Iraqis, animals...
But
everybody, lawn jockeys, all of them.
But are you now? What are you suggesting we do with Iraq? You changed your tune. It sounds like about Iraq.
No, I'm just saying it's a horrible place.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if the people really. I don't really know if the people are governable. If that if I didn't screw that word up too much, governable. There we go. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if they're ready for it.
I mean, things like that have been said about Vietnam and Philippines at the end of each war. These things are said. And eventually people come around to forming governments in Cambodia.
Well, that's a little different situation.
Yeah, each little different over there. But still, you know, horrible civil strife, horrible divisions. War, and then people behave a certain way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
They're like wild stallions that can't be broken. Except for... not in a good way.
Yeah, I was talking... You know that Bobby Brown show that's about to come out on TV? The reality show where they're following him around in cameras?
Mm.
Yeah. And I heard how they're spinning that. It's like, well, he's a free spirit. But, oh, my God. I cannot let that one... please, give me a camera.
Yeah.
I mean, a free spirit.
Well,
my God. Yeah. When did sociopathy become free-spirited?
Sociopathy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, so listen. Steve should go to... wait a minute. Is it S.A.?
Yes. Well, I'm not sure he's a sex addict. He is clearly using sex as in response to all this trauma he's been through. I think he just needs to go somewhere, have an evaluation, and see if somebody can come up with a diagnostic sort of idea of what's going on with him, and then refer him. Maybe S.A. Certainly, 12-step wouldn't hurt.
All right.
And by the way,
I mean
no ill to Bobby Brown. I'm being facetious.
No,
but
he's
great people. But I mean, the free spirit thing is we cannot let. When people act, I mean, Michael Jackson's a free spirit too, and
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
there's more to these stories than free spiritedness that needs to be looked at honestly and critically.
Yeah, no, I'm
not meant to hurt anybody. In fact, might help them be able to be seen more honestly as
well,
who they are.
Okay, let's just talk about this for a second because right. In the past the news wouldn't really get involved with a lot of these stories. Now. And I think this is the part you object to, and I object to as well. They act like they're getting involved with it because they're concerned and because they want to provide some sort of public forum for these kind of things. But they never get to the problem.
No, they just keep the spin going.
Yeah, and it's more like, you know, they wrap it up by going, he's a deeply spiritual man.
Yeah.
And with the help of his things and the help of the Lord, he will find the strength. He needs rehab is what he needs.
Right, whoever, yes.
Or
exactly.
Whatever it
is. Yes.
And there's too much BS all around people's
Absolutely.
Inner light. It's BS. And they never do get to it.
Right.
So now it's insulting. Like, I wish it was back how it was, where they just wouldn't even talk about it anymore.
It would be shameful.
It would be shameful for them to actually go and talk to these people.
Right.
Or to make this...
Or to
be
shaming to the people.
These stories weren't newsworthy.
Yeah.
All right. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I had a breast reduction surgery a while back, and my breasts are still tender, and I'm kind of wondering about how long it's going to be until that stops. Mm-hmm.
What part is...
Oh, hold on. Quiet now, down, Drew.
Sorry?
What'd you go from? What were you?
A double D, up, kind of in between that and a triple.
That and a triple D?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said there was not a triple D.
I thought there wasn't a triple D.
Well, then somebody ought to tell Victoria's Secret that.
Victoria's Secret makes a triple D?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you my plan, Drew.
Well, they have the universal...
I'm going to tag those triple D bras. Just like they
tag
the caribou in Alaska to figure out their migration.
Yeah.
And then we're going to follow them home.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have a little radar device.
Yeah, they do that on clothing already, where they just put that little magnetic thing
on
there.
In case you get into an avalanche or something.
I'll be in a van outside the Galleria.
You'll need to have Seth Green behind the radar. Isn't that his role now?
Yeah, I'll have Seth Green. He'll be the nerdy guy back there.
Right, behind the computer.
Right. And I'll have like Jon Favreau in a campy hat driving the van, smoking a cigar, and I'll say stuff like "Let's roll," and then we have visual on the unit, and it'll just be a chick in a minivan, and we'll follow her home, and then we'll set up, you know, we'll bivouac outside the house and set up a surveillance cam.
But let's agree that if anyone were going to set up the universal, should we call it language or system
for bras
for cup size, it would be Victoria's Secret. They should just claim it.
Now they should.
Yeah.
All right. So Victoria's Secret makes a triple D.
Therefore it exists.
Yeah. I guess.
Oh, and hold on. Let me say this too. You know, it's all this. Everyone's on us about talking about content, what's on the radio, FCC, all this kind of stuff, content on television. These Victoria.
They canceled that.
Secret.
The TV show?
No. The commercials.
Oh.
Spankable. I mean, spankable at 7, 8 in the evening.
Really?
I mean, you're sitting there watching Entertainment Tonight at 7:30 at night that goes in the Victoria's Secret commercial. Yeah, kind of oiled up chick and, you know, tight bra and panties, cleavage for days, walking in slow motion, you know, down the runway, sort of jiggle. I mean, they're not wearing bathing suits. They don't make bathing suits. They don't make short shorts. They don't make halter tops. They make panties and bras.
I just file that under we just can't decide what we are.
We really can't.
Bathing suits are okay. Underwear not okay.
Yeah, but...
But maybe bathing suits aren't even okay.
Still, like, you know, I'm not prude, but you know, if you're sitting there with your 8-year-old and you're just watching TV at 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night, and this chick's she's jiggling.
Mm.
I mean, I don't. No one ever says anything about it. I don't want him to say anything about it. I enjoy it, but I'm just saying. Victoria's Secret has seemed to have slid under the radar
for the moment.
For the moment, in terms of their stuff, you know why? You know the thing that's interesting about it shows just as much skin. Chicks are a little better looking. It's a little classier. If one of the chicks had like a tattoo and a knife scar, and it was Fredericks of Hollywood, they wouldn't get away with it. It would be considered in poor taste. There's something.
Therefore, if they try to take it off the air, it should be discriminatory.
Well,
if you can show evidence that they've let other stuff go by with lesser looking models.
Yeah, because they got Bob Dylan singing in the background.
They should be just removed.
They should be
for
pulled
that.
Off for Bob yeah. Dylan singing. But
six.
It's good spankable stuff.
Oh no,
Chris,
three,
right? Yeah, it's solid.
Oh, Chris, woo, that was an enthusiastic.
Yeah. Jessica?
Yeah.
All right, so you were triple D.
Yeah, between that and a double.
What size person are you?
I'm pretty slim.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. You say what size. You know, no one will ever give you the size.
Well, I work out regularly, and I'm about 125, 130.
Yeah. You must have some kind of rocking bod on you, baby doll.
It was becoming an issue.
Really?
Well, when you weigh that much and you got boobs that big, you're kind of falling over.
Bouncy, bouncy.
Yeah. Nice. Did you have a boyfriend at the time?
Yeah, but we broke up.
Yeah. Well, man has his limits. They got you down to what? A D?
I'm a C now.
A C. All right. And
where's the tenderness? Around the scars or where?
Kind of all over.
Yeah, it's a surgery, you know, and sometimes a year and a half, boy. Do you have any numb spots?
A little bit on the nipple part, like the.
Has it grown at all since the surgery?
No.
So it stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what describe the pain and where is it? That sort of thing.
It's just really super tender, especially on the underside,
where the scars are.
Yeah, but above that as well.
Hey, I have an areola question.
Well, hold on. I'll just finish the question.
Well, you think about your answer while I talk areola. Hey, Jessica?
Mm-hmm.
I want to actually have a little show called Adam's Areola Corner.
Sounds
where, nice. It's not a whole half-hour show. It's like one of these nine-minute things.
Infomercials?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I go...
You need to know.
At the end of it, and I go, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Adam Carolla's Areola Corner.
Yeah, it sounds like it would sell.
A little rainbow. The rainbow.
Thought you needed to know. Yeah. So here's the thing. Have your areola shrunk now that the breast mass is taken away? Almost, you know, sort of like a balloon with more air in it.
Mm-hmm.
Has that happened?
The breast mass is shrunk?
Reduced.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's less stuff in there. I'm not sure what you're asking.
I don't think she...
What do we have the world's...
She didn't listen.
I speak Japanese on the radio all day? Is that all you people hear? I've been speaking in, like, Cambodian
tongues.
Or something? That's where I turn Japanese at the end. No one has any idea what I'm ever talking about.
I just don't think she was listening.
Okay. Jessica?
Yeah, sorry, you're a little dull. I was fading out.
You should still be punished for not listening.
Okay. Sorry.
Remember we're talking about areolas,
yeah,
right?
Areolas, got it.
And I asked, have your areola shrunk now that some of your breast mass has been removed?
Oh, yeah. They took some of that off, right? I have giant areolas and normal sized breasts.
They cut around it.
They took some of the areola off.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't know. It's not always... I don't know if they always do that on a breast reduction.
Well, there's some women running around with some funky-looking breasts, then.
Well, there's some women that have big breasts and small areolas. In which case, you would do a breast reduction and would actually get the nipple and the areola down.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are you otherwise happy with the procedure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, best thing I ever did for myself.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, the
But it's the worst that could happen. It's a song.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go to break.
Let's just say, that irritation, that could become chronic. I mean, a year and a half, things really should have healed by now. And so, You may want to talk to the surgeon again about sometimes they remove scar and things. That can be the source of the irritation.
Go back and talk to the surgeon.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's an unusual.
And see if you can get that areola back from him and send it out to us. We'll get you a windbreaker.
To you.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Adam's Corner.
I'll take that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Perlman, Hellboy. Is going to be in here tomorrow night.
What else has he done?
Hellboy? Well, he was Ron Perlman also played Hell Girl, Hell Dog,
and just
Hell Cow, Hell Mom, Helvetica, this type of print.
City of Lost Children and Happy Texas is known for.
Yeah. Helvetica wasn't. Was,
is he a big guy? Or
was an action movie.
Remember that show, Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast, yeah. Yeah.
Is he a big guy?
It's not as big as Hellboy.
But is a Hellboy all made up stuff?
I don't know. Is he a big guy? I know it's a true story where, you know, Hitler went back through some porthole to nether world and tried to get Satan to stop the Axis powers.
Is he in real life like a wrestler guy type? Or was that all sort of?
I think he's in
makeup.
Good shape. I don't know, Anderson.
Well, in City of Lost Children, he was portrayed as a giant, so there might be something to that. I don't know why he's cast.
I think he's a good side. Let's not make fun of him until we can see him.
The Last Supper too was a great film that he was in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he's got range. One. Last Supper and Hellboy. All right. Well, we'll see Ron tomorrow night, and then Paul Tracy, race car driver, is going to be in here, and then Antonio Sabato Jr. is going to be in here. And, all right, Tina Fey, The Darkness, Pennywise, Colby from Survivor, following week. Ready to rock here, Drew?
Here we go.
All right, let's talk to Joey. Joey?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Well, this past Thursday, I stayed after school with my art teacher, and she usually flirts with everybody. But I think this time she took it a little too far, and I didn't really care at that time. And she's like, because she was showing me how to do some drawing or whatever, and then she's just all of a sudden, like, she kept rubbing her legs at my legs, and then she's like, out of nowhere, she's like, take off my shirt, and then I just unzipped it off and I started playing with her breasts, and she's like, what are you doing? And then she seemed like she just started enjoying it. And
enjoy it. Right.
Now I'm afraid she might accuse me of sexual harassment.
No. She is the teacher. She is the one in the position where you can be exploited. So she is the one that's gonna get in trouble. Yeah. And just so the table is not turned in some sort of bizarre way, because somebody a teacher that's capable of that, God only knows what she might pull.
Yeah.
In terms of saying, not just you harassed her, but maybe you cornered her, or knows what.
And next thing you know, I mean, this is meter-made publicist type activity. You know what I mean?
You have no respect for this, basically, what you're saying.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
And so you need to go to the school and tell
them. Hold on. Yeah. This is maybe bogus.
No, I got.
Can you believe him?
I feel the confusion.
Joey is 18. Okay. Joey. Well, I wonder what the wattage bulb Joey's got going up there. I'm guessing it's just one of those. Whatever about the size of the one that's the marker light on the fender of your car, not the headlight, the marker one on the side. Joey.
Yeah.
Hey, did you have sex with her?
Nah. I just
he just fooled around.
He just felt her boobies.
Yeah. Then we just started kissing.
And then what? How did it end?
Somebody knocked at the door, and that's when we just stopped immediately.
Okay. And you're 18, and you're a senior at in high school.
Yeah.
Did you get held back a grade?
No. I just turned 18 this year.
Sometimes 18-year-olds.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if he just turned.
But his being 18 doesn't change the ethics of the circumstance.
Not really, but it's better than a 15-year-old.
Yes, it's not as troublesome.
All right, now listen, here's my point. I don't think Joey is going to go narc her out.
Yeah, he should.
Are you?
I don't know.
Well, do you want to go talk to the principal about her behavior?
I don't know, because
are you a kind of kid?
Hold on a second. I'm going to ask him another yes or no question. I'm going to make a number two.
During that
in
time?
In between.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me say. Joey?
Yeah.
Is it cold in Chicago?
Is it cold in Chicago? Oh, I'm going to go make.
Okay, go.
A little bit, not that much.
No. Hey, you got that win 100 times faster. Yeah. All right, so, Joey, here's what I don't understand. You're calling us because you're worried you might get into trouble.
Are you the kind of trouble guy where people expect trouble from you?
No, not really.
What's that?
No.
No, you stay out of trouble.
Okay, yeah. here's my plan for you, Joey. My plan for you is to not be alone with this teacher anymore.
Yes.
Get your grades, graduate, and go off to a nice junior college.
Okay. This would be good for Joey.
All right.
So not safe.
Okay.
We couldn't hear it.
I don't know what the F Joey's... Look, they didn't have sex.
Right.
Okay, that sort of makes it better. Yes, the teacher screwed up.
The teacher might be screwing up with other kids.
Yeah. These art teachers are just, the art teachers and the shop teachers, they're just flunkies.
But those are the ones you hung out with.
I know. They're flunkies. Mm. I mean, they're guys who got their contractor's license stripped and stuff and, hurt their back or something. And, they end up teaching shop. The arts teachers are just... Here's what art teachers are. First, they're artists. They're struggling artists who can't make a living doing the art. And secondly, they take the gig because it's like free clay and free easels and free kilns and all the junk they wouldn't have access to. And then they get worshipped by a bunch of retards.
Right.
Because they know something about clay or something about art.
Yeah.
It's nice, though. You got a bunch of 17-year-olds who, think you're worth something.
Yeah. All right. And you help them and change
them. Yeah, you could.
What'd you do for your holiday, by the way?
I threw stuff on the potter's wheel.
Oh, you did? Threw some pots? Good.
No, but I did drive past a place, some trendy place, on Santa Monica or Melrose or something, where it was, some sort of a ceramic school.
Oh, wow.
And, the guy, you go in there and throw your pots on the potter's wheel, and the whole front of the facade is glass, and there's a guy sitting there, and I thought to myself, this should be a shame factor. Man should not be sitting in front of God and everybody throwing a pot. Go ahead and put a screen up there or something, hang a little bamboo, put a little foil on the window so it seems like the guy's getting a BJ.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Kind of cool, kind of gay at the same time.
Went to Knott's Berry Farm on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good times.
What'd you do?
It was great. My kids are really into that stuff. They had a great time. But I realized that...
What a shock that you have 11-year-olds that are into amusement parks.
I'm really into it, though. I mean, they like that.
Well, every kid's really into it.
I realized as you age, it gets more difficult. It gets more difficult to tolerate those things. I get off Friday, I want to vomit. I got a headache.
Oh. It's like, yeah. Look. Look,
my kids just have the greatest time of their life. Yeah, I can't explain it. I go with enthusiasm and then get off barf over the ledge.
I've said this many times about these rides and about many facets of technology. We are not evolving fast enough to keep up with this stuff.
They're amazing.
The point is you're going 80 miles an hour. You're in some sort of inverted roll. There's a small part of your brain that understands you paid admission and you strapped yourself in and doing it. But there's a larger part of your body, the muscles, the fiber, neurons that are firing and stuff, that think your car is rolling off an overpass.
Right, that's right.
And you're going into a lake. It's like you can't. Your body tenses up. I mean, your body thinks. Your body feels like it's being thrown over a cliff.
Your body thinks it's going over the cliff. Yeah,
right.
The aging brain gets disoriented. So you can't reorient. You can't go, oh no, I'll just fixate on this spot. It's like, and I don't know where the hell I am.
I forget about
amusement park.
I'm not sure if it's a good idea for your body to think it's being killed, because that's what it is. This is what roller coasters are. Mm. This is we want to try to convince every part of you below your chin that it is dying, and it's not a slow and graceful death. It's not
traumatic.
You're not in bed with your loving wife of 40 years and your dog. No, you Your car's going off a cliff is basically what your body thinks.
But we had a blast anyway.
All right.
Brought back. I had to educate my whole family to the history of the boysenberry.
Oh.
Which you educated me about.
Knott's Berry Farm.
And their question was, how did Adam know that?
Adam knows because he didn't waste all his precious time in college.
That's right.
He looked around, kids. He didn't let the man force feed him his ideology. He left his mind open so it could think. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about your mind, Drew.
Yeah.
Your mind's like one of those cars at Disneyland over at the Autotopia.
Yeah.
It thinks it's driving, but it's really just a bolt and a round wheel that you just spin it around as many times as you want. It's just going. It thinks. Whereas me, I'm a full-blown bumper car, my friend.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about you this weekend, too. I was reading some stuff about IQ testing and stuff, and they were making a huge point about
how... Big 93.
Yeah.
Big
93. And they were making a huge point about testing like that does not screen for exceptionality.
Hmm.
That if you are exceptional,
mm-hmm.
you can feel good about this, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It will not pick you up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how about the fact that you're singled out and punished?
You
forget
can't
about
pick,
not being picked up. How about kicked in the nuts?
You can't pick you up. Pick up genius.
Aha!
So there you go.
I've said that. I've been crowing this from the highest mountain.
So I'll take my 140 IQ and head on out.
That's right. You head on out to Disneyland. Let the geniuses stay home and create, or beat off and nap. Let's take a little break.
Seems to be the other thing that geniuses, I guess, like to do.
That's
if you're representative.
That's how I charge my batteries.
That's good times.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, y'all. It's Loveline. Madam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty.
Adam, there's no teacher-like experience. I'm
that's right.
I'm telling you.
Ron Perlman, Hellboy, in here tomorrow night. Then the great race car driver, Paul Tracy, will be in on Wednesday night talking about that Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, no doubt.
Oh, you were not invited back this year? Wow. I guess it was, I don't know what it might have been.
Well, let me explain something, Drew. How dare you? The only way you get to come back and race 2 years in a row is if you won the previous year.
Really?
And,
it seemed like there were some names there that kept showing up year in and year out.
There are names that show up every other year. And I'd have to look into it. This is what they said. I didn't ask this year, but they said at the beginning of our year last year when I did the celebrity race, the winner gets the pro winner and the celebrity winner get
come
to
back.
Come back and everyone else gets rotated. I would imagine there's plenty of years when they get a little desperate and go ahead and flex that rule because, look, who cares? And you got to get, what's his name, the buddy from Fresh Prince. In there.
Yeah.
The hell's Alfonso Ribeiro.
He won a few years in a row.
What? Well, okay, he's got a name like a Formula One driver. All right. Let's see. Had an abortion.
Let's check this out.
Had an at-home abortion?
Well, I want to find out what that means.
Allison?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yes.
You had an at-home abortion?
Well, I tried.
Yes. What does that mean? What did you do?
Well, like... When I found out a couple weeks ago that I was pregnant, and I told my best friend, and she said that that you can take a coat hanger, and when you cut it, you can stick the long piece up there or something, and she didn't, like, go into details, so...
Allison, in the days of yore, when abortions were illegal, that was one of the sort of images that people conjured up as a way of defending the need to make abortions legal. It's because women that did that routinely died.
They did?
So, yes. They bled to death.
Oh, did they have coat hangers? I thought they only had wooden ones back then.
Yeah. And so, back then, it was only 20 years ago. And so, if you are pregnant and you are hell-bent on terminating,
teeth.
You can go anywhere you wish, go to Planned Parenthood. They will give you one, they will pay for it, and they will not tell anybody.
You know, did you really use a coat hanger?
Yeah.
Yes?
Really, really hard, and it's...
Oh, wait, hold on. Chicks can't do this, but right. How much of that coat hanger did you get in you?
I didn't get that much in because it just started... Because I cut it with a wire hanger so I could get the a wire cutter thing so I could get the long part.
So basically, all you do, Allison, is tear your vagina or tear your cervix. You will form infection. You can die. Forget the bleeding to death. You can get infection in there, get into your abdomen. It is a really super serious situation.
Wouldn't it be weird if the kid came out with like a Zorro on his forehead?
Just call him
like
Harry Potter
or something horrible and unfortunate.
And you need to get this taken care of immediately.
Okay.
And Allison.
What?
You're 17. I worry about you just a little bit.
A lot. Well, I worry about you imminently for what you've done. I worry about the fact that you're having sex and you're not prepared to deal with it. I worry that you're so...
It was actually the first time my boyfriend and I had ever had sex.
All right, but I'm worried about the future. Are you doing okay? Are you going to school?
Yeah, I'm in school.
Okay.
Doing okay in school?
I guess I'm okay in school. Mm-hmm. I mean... Yeah. I don't know. My parents are really, like, strict and stuff, so I'm never ever home ever, and I'm out, like, getting every weekend.
Oh, okay, man.
All right, that's what Adam's talking
all
about.
All right, well, as long as you're on your way to Yale, that's fine.
I'm sure they all got blacked out from the audience, but she talked about how screwed up she's getting every weekend and what a mess.
Well, she said effed up. Okay, so. Come on, everybody. Just everyone stop, would you? First off, okay.
Allison, like, please get some help. Please get some help.
Okay.
Please
get some help.
Because also, this sounds like addiction underway, too. So.
Look, here's the thing, everybody. We don't have crystal balls. We just have calendars that go 5-8 years into the future. Okay? Don't look at it as a crystal ball that we have. Look at it as a magic calendar that we can go ahead 5 years, 10 years, and see what the things are going to look like. You flip forward a few years with Allison. It don't look good.
I'm not sure the calendar even keeps going.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
May end. Mm. Well, she keeps experimenting on herself with coat hangers.
She's really in a you know, desperate situation. I mean,
yeah. All right, take care of it,
please.
Okay, Amelia, 13-year-old Amelia.
Yeah.
What's
Hi.
Happening? Hi.
Okay, so what happened was I was with this guy, and we started making out and stuff, and, like, I was, like, on top of him, and, like, his hand was down, so I thought that he was fingering me,
mm-hmm.
and, but then I realized that it was his penis, and as soon as I found out, I jumped up, but he was, like, doing it for, like, 30 seconds.
Wait a minute. That's my move. How could...
Huh? And I don't think he came, because it takes... Okay, so, like, this is the first time that I've ever done anything, and I was so not ready for sex, and, like, I wasn't, you know, like...
All right, so you were on top of him.
Yeah.
I should say you were not ready.
And you
couldn't tell the difference between him...
No, because I've never been fingered before at anything, like, the first time I've done anything with anyone.
How old was this guy?
17.
Oh, all right. God. And why were you... Okay, well, look.
Okay, no. Oh, and I know that, like, I thought about this, and, like, I know that, like, he took advantage of me and everything, and, like...
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's not like we were going out or anything. It's just...
Okay. All right. Well, look. All right. You made a mistake.
Yeah, and I'm just, like... And I'm scared because, like, he pre-comes sometimes, and I was just, like, you know...
How about the morning after pill? I know pre-com.
How do you know his history?
Because he told me.
Oh.
Wow. But, like, can guys feel it?
Conversation.
But what, Emily?
Huh?
What'd you say?
Do guys know if they pre-come or not?
No, they don't. Not usually. They know if they have that tendency, but that's it. Like, Adam knows he doesn't have that tendency.
Yeah, it's like asking the guy in line in front of you if he knows he stinks to high heaven. They probably know they don't smell like a bar of Irish Spring, but they have no idea the effect it's having on you.
So,
Amelia, so here's the thing. This was how long ago?
Thursday.
And soon as you realized it was his penis,
you jumped off,
and then you did what?
I was just really shocked. And then we went home. Like, I went home.
What about the morning after pill? Do you know what that is?
I know what it is, but, like, I don't know. I don't have a car or anything. I don't want to tell my parents. I was in New York. Like, I was visiting my dad, and I met that guy. And...
All right. Okay.
Horrible.
Well, here's the thing. She's not pregnant.
Let's hope not.
Yeah,
like,
and it's
there's not a good chance that I am, right?
There's no, not a good
there's,
chance.
There's not even close to a decent chance that you
well,
are.
Well, there's a chance.
It doesn't mean it's not impossible. It just means there's not a good chance. And you got in over your head.
How did you find out it was his penis, even?
Because his hand went, like, both of his hands are on my back. Yeah.
Could have been one hand, one penis. Back and see, that's what I'll do. Okay, look, we got to take a break. Yeah. Amelia... 13, don't
Please,
grow up too fast.
Slow down.
You learned a good lesson. Yeah. You reacted. You got yourself in a bad shape, and then you reacted accordingly.
Yeah.
Be careful. Take it slow. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Perlman, Hellboy, in here tomorrow night. Number 2 at the box office. I think it was number 1 the week before. The kids love the comic books, Drew.
I know.
I don't know what's up with that. I have no idea what they're doing reading.
Yeah, wow. Reading little cartoon squares.
I don't know.
Did you see American Splendor ever?
No.
With the cartoon, yeah.
Never saw that, but... you know, it's the whole fantasy baseball and fantasy football and card collecting and comic book reading and comic book collecting.
You're just not cool. That's all, Adam.
I don't know what it is. It involves reading, so I know I'm naturally, you know, sort of repelled to anything that involves text or words. But I just, what the? So you're looking at a card. I don't know. Don't you want stuff? At least you want a gun when you're a kid. Here's what you should be doing. Here's what you should be focusing on. You've been wanting to shoot stuff, and you should be wanting to drive stuff.
And destroy stuff.
You should start with, like, you know, mini bikes, and then get your way into, like, go-karts, and then work your way into, like, off-road stuff, motorcycles, and dune buggies. This is what you should be looking at. Mm-hmm. And then you should be wanting to hit stuff with a bat. The whole sit around looking at the comic book, and... okay. All right.
Don't look to me.
All right. Thomas?
Yeah, hey, how are y'all?
You're 17. What's up? Oh, Germany or Florida?
Yeah, before I start, could I ask a quick question for Drew?
Yeah,
I wanted to know, does somebody have to have the genetic predisposition to become an addict or, like, an alcoholic? Because, like,
go ahead. Because
I kind of gather that, like, you know, from a lot of stuff you said, it seems like that's what you kind of imply.
Well, fundamentally, yes. Meet about 2 new addicts a day on my unit. We have about 2 new admissions per day. I've been running my unit for 14 years, so I've treated about somewhere between 7,000 and 10,000 addicts, and I've only seen one where I couldn't clearly see a genetic history.
Okay.
Yeah, but Drew, you're like a religious fanatic with the Bible, trying to make every, you know, spinning it, making it fit. I've heard you on the radio before.
Are you a real doctor? Are you a love doctor?
He's just a love doctor.
Thanks, Thomas. Yeah.
No, well, here's
how
what
do you
I'm...
figure? I ask you, if dad or grandparents, alcoholism or addicts?
Well, but I've seen you do that stuff where, like, did your parents physically abuse you? And they say no. And then you say, did they ever strike you? And they say, well, once they spanked me because I... And you go, aha. I'm just saying, if you're looking to make the connection, you'll have a much higher batting average.
Well, unfortunately, and I think I understand what you're saying, but the reality is when it comes to things like traumatic upbringings, when it comes to things like parents using substances, people deny it.
Yeah.
You have to be like an attorney asking questions, knowing what the answers are. When you find it, it's easily substantiable. So, all right. Okay. Anyway, be that as it may. So, right. For the most part, let's put it that way.
Is dependence the same thing?
No. Dependence is what happens late in the game. You start having, you get tolerant, you need more, you have withdrawal if you stop. That happens to all humans.
Okay.
But the non-addict will get dependent, will stop, and then won't look back, won't be interested in continuing.
Okay.
The addict will be permanently changed. And will constantly be preoccupied about the drug.
He's tired of his own question.
I know. He's 17.
Germany or Florida?
All right. Time to get down to the important business.
Right. These are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida?
Hey, Anderson, didn't you miss that song while you were away?
I love that guy.
Yeah, I heard there was a new one. I haven't heard the show yet.
No, really? There is?
No, I don't think there is.
Somebody
tried.
Said they had one. Oh, yeah, but that was a guy who was just scatting.
Yeah.
He was just like, Germany or Florida, because Germany has Germans in it, and Florida has Floridians. Oh, yeah. It was like, huh?
Yeah.
What was that song, Drew?
I don't know. I'll
try it. Yeah. I listen to every single show that I miss. I have to go back and listen to the
Why?
Show.
Why? Why did you
for best ofs and stuff?
Oh, yeah. That is brutal.
Oh, yeah. Anderson.
You can't get some flunky to do that.
For the next 14 hours of my driving existence, I'll be listening to
brutal.
Adam.
Brutal. That is brutal. Go ahead, Thomas.
All right. An obese cat, 6 times the normal weight, has gone on a hunger strike at an animal shelter after being taken from his owner, who had fed him 4 pounds of mint daily, the newspaper reported on Saturday.
Mint?
Mint.
Oh, mints.
Yeah.
Okay.
The cat, weighing nearly 41 pounds, was brought to the animal shelter on April 1st and was so overweight he couldn't take more than 4 steps without becoming exhausted. His elderly owner was at the same time taken to a nursing home. Shelter officials said the 6-year-old cat is so fat he cannot clean himself and suffers from heart trouble. They said he felt lost without his meat-feeding owner and stopped eating altogether when he was put on a diet to gradually lose weight.
Stopped eating because he didn't need to eat.
Say what?
Stopped eating because he didn't need to eat.
Did he say he's meat feeding owner?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he say
mint feeding?
It says meat feeding. I don't know.
So
I guess.
Does he feed him mints or is he feed him meat or is it minced meat?
First it says mints and then down here it says meat, so I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
Good
All right. Answer. Germany or Florida?
Florida.
Hold on a second. First off, I love a morbidly obese animal. I do. It works. It doesn't work on people, but it works on pets. Hmm. There's nothing like a fat dog, like a big fat lab.
Yeah.
You know, like a blonde lab that's like 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're fat.
They're more jovial.
The tail starts wagging and they bend in the middle a lot. And, fat animals are usually in a better mood. They're kind of like people. You know, the fat guys have the good sense of humor. Skinny ones are the nasty ones. You know, Chihuahuas always mean and nasty.
Yeah.
I like a fat cat is nice, too. There's nothing worse than a bony cat.
Yeah.
I like a nice big fat cat. It's good. Everything. Polar bears, everything. It's better. Fish. It's all better when they're fat. And then everyone's like, well, the dog will die 2 years earlier. You get another one. I mean, if you do the math, you know, you live to 80, dog lives till 14, you're going to have 5 of them anyway. So you have 6.
I think they're not just thinking about themselves as it pertains to the dog. They might be trying to protect the dog's well-being.
Let me explain something about the dog.
Please.
Dog would much rather eat all those table scraps and have himself a good old time and not exercising and gorging on fatty meats and go 18 months early. Ask any dog. Dog will tell you the answer. He's at the edge of the table. He knows what he wants. Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird when people get in and they get special diets for their dogs and stuff like that. And leave them a little fat. I like that. All right, you're going Florida?
Yeah. Although the fact that they missed the translation, the meats and the mints, might indicate German.
There's a town in Germany called Mintz.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's Mainz. I pronounce it Mintz. Okay, here's the point. I think that's a very crucial and interesting point with the mints and the meat feeding.
Yeah.
I'm going Germany
All right,
now.
Good. All right, there you go.
And I actually may have gone Germany anyway because it's a weird thing to feed a cat. All right, we're going Germany. Yes?
Yes.
Thomas.
That's your final answer?
Germany.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
Ho! Yeah! Oh, man, are we good. Yeah.
All right.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Try next time.
Yeah, good times.
Good times. Yeah, there was a translation problem with the mince and the meat.
Yeah.
Cat wouldn't eat mince.
Doesn't seem like it.
A cat's not going to eat Tic Tacs.
Cat just eats meat. That's all they eat.
Yeah, you get them to eat other protein forms like, you know, milk and eggs and that kind of stuff. But they'll lick a pizza or something just because it's got cheese on it. But they're not going to eat hard candies.
No.
Okay. It's meat. Mince. Yeah. All right. Jennifer?
Yes?
27?
Yes, I am.
What's happening, baby doll?
Nothing. How are you?
You know what I like about fat cats, Drew?
What's that?
You can make them sit down, like in your lap. You know what I mean?
Like, and they'll stay put.
Actually sort of sit. Yeah. You know, they sit like beanbags, you know. They become bottom heavy. They're more docile, you know, like a thin cat's like sort of wiry, you know, he's trying to get away.
We had a thin cat got eaten by a bobcat, but that cat
sorry.
I know, is that nice? But that cat would eat so much. I mean, he was like bottomless. He would never gain a pound.
No, he was smoking crack.
He probably was. He seemed that way.
The fat cat, you pull up on your lap, you sit him down like a human being, and he ends up sitting like a panda bear.
You kind of plop him down.
You kind of plop him down, you move him around a little. Eaten by bobcat.
Yeah, and you know that story.
I know, but did you... Oh, yeah, it got mortally wounded by...
Yeah, my wife had to face off with the bobcat in the middle of the night. It was crazy. I went out the backyard with a broomstick kitchen knife.
That's a draw. True. I got news for you. That is a draw. That's even money. Your wife's quite a bobcat herself.
That's right.
She's a tough lady.
That's what I'm talking about.
And, so the cat was wounded by the bobcat.
Yeah.
And made it back in, but never... Well, no. We tried it back in. And then you found out it was going to be like $2,800. And
it was just going bad. We kept them alive for several days.
All right. Jennifer?
Yes?
Go ahead. You're 27.
I am. I just got married about a month ago, and before that, I found out that my fiance at the time had he's got a lingerie fetish.
Mm-hmm. Lingerie fetish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means he likes to put on bras and panties.
That's not a lingerie fetish. He's a cross dresser.
Oh, okay.
No.
Lingerie fetish would mean he likes you to wear it.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
But that just sort of makes him a dude, you know.
Yeah, but he, you know.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you. Well, look.
It's odd for me.
Soften the blow.
fact that he likes to wear underwear doesn't make him a dude. What would make him a dude would be him requiring you to wear lingerie.
Right,
that
right.
would be sort of an average kind of a thing, even though guys are not into that particularly, really.
Not as much as Victoria's Secret would that lead you to believe.
No, because they don't lead men to believe anything. All they're showing men is models they like.
Well, let's put it this way. If one of those Victoria's Secret angel models was, strutting around the foot of your bed, you couldn't get her out of that goddamn bra fast enough.
That's the whole thing. They're selling it to women.
Get going.
But they're leading women to believe that men like the lingerie because of who's wearing it.
Yeah, we don't have a problem with the lingerie. We don't mind it. It's fine. It's a little bit of a push. It's more the super smoking hot Swedish chick who's in the bra and panties. I can think of plenty of women that we would not like to see in the same bra and panties. If our mom being at the top of the list and then moving its way down to, co-workers, family members. The list goes on and on. Probably 99% of the population, the female population, we would not want to see in that particular bra and
panty. The
irony. If you really think about it.
There's the irony. The only ones you would want to see in it are the ones who you immediately want out of it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Eh?
If you just go walk around. Yeah, Drew. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
I know. Is it one of the Sopranos all of a sudden?
That's what I'm talking about.
All I'm saying is go walk up and down the street. See if 9 out of 10 women you see you don't want to see in those panties. You know what I mean? It's going to be at least 9. You're going to pass one about every 50 chicks who you say, wouldn't mind getting a look at her in that. All right. Anyway, what the hell are we talking about? So
he likes wearing it.
You didn't know this about him before you got married?
No, I did. I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Has it gotten more pervasive, more prominent as a fetish?
It has, yes.
That's sort of the way fetishes go. They kind of take over.
And you pulled the trigger anyway on the whole marriage thing.
I did. I mean, I love him to death. I don't want to lose him because of it, obviously, but it's something that just he wants me to be turned on by it, but it's just not happening.
How about you put a strap on and a wind up beanie and tell him you'd like him to be turned on?
I suggested that and he said we could try, but I don't really want to do that myself. So
you suggested the wind up beanie?
No,
not the wind up.
The strap on.
The strap on.
And it was kind of like a sideways comment just as a joke to see what he'd say. But
you a Mormon? And what did he say?
He said.
She's confused by the first question.
He said what? What do you say about this?
Try it if you really want to.
All right, hold on. Let me convene with Drew for a second.
Jennifer sounds smart. Strangely enough.
Smart for one of our callers, which makes her just mildly dumb. Okay, so here's the thing. Hey, we could try the strap-on mixed with I got to wear the lingerie. Start making me a little nervous about the guy's sexual proclivity.
The fact that he was willing to try the strap-on. Now, I think his thing is, I don't know, you may be right, but it sounds like he just needs her so badly to be in his fetish realm with her. He's willing to let her do whatever she wants to do.
So, Jennifer.
Yes.
Would he wear women's lingerie, let's say, under his clothing and go to work?
No, I don't think so.
It's just during a sexual act with you.
Right. I think his whole thing is the whole scenario always starts off with he wants me to catch him in the act of wearing it. It's like the embarrassment part.
Oh, my.
And how, it's like the shame part.
Yes.
And, right, exactly.
And so how...
The way mommy caught him when he was 4.
I blame his mother.
Sure.
No kidding.
Because she's very domineering and very aggressive.
So his scenario, his ideal scenario, sexual scenario, would work out how?
His ideal scenario would work out. He would be in our room with the lingerie on, probably watching a porno, and I walk in on him like coming home from work or something.
And you would find that arousing.
Right.
That he would need that to be
well,
part of
first
that.
You would first there would be some shock and a little shame and then arousal.
Exactly. The initial shock and then
Have you been acting this fantasy out with him?
We've done it once or twice and I kind of act my way through it, but it probably
feels sort of weird, disgusting.
He's a very masculine man, and to see him that way just kind of takes away some of that.
Yeah. Well,
no
look,
kidding.
Jennifer, you have the flexibility of taffy to be able to go along with this because most women really couldn't. Mm. Yeah, yes, I agree with Drew. You're an intelligent person. You're in love with the guy.
Get him some therapy, please.
Yes, therapy.
Get him some therapy.
The therapy isn't, hey, Thongback, get some therapy. It's more like you got issues with domineering mom. Focus on mom. Go to therapy.
And realize that the fetish diminishes intimacy, and you're feeling that vividly. It's like you get kind of weirded out and disgusted. And his sort of who he is diminished by it in your eyes, and which is kind of what he wants. It's just a lot of craziness.
How does this work? I mean, I don't know. I feel like your position has changed on this a little bit over the years.
Me?
No, I'm talking to Chris, the engineer.
My position has changed. I'm listening.
Meaning, maybe our position. Like, at a certain point, we're like, well, you just do the fetish, and you sort of contain it, and, what goes on in the bedroom and behind closed doors is your business kind of thing.
I think it depends on the fetish and how much it's overtaking.
But I'm starting to think that we're feeling like this is almost like as if a person said, look, I got to be high to make love.
Yes.
And in which case you would say, well, that something's got to be done about that.
Yeah.
Not go ahead and get high every time you make love.
But on the other hand, if he said, on a special occasion once a year, I want to do that.
All right,
as long as you're okay the rest of the time, it's sort of able to be intimate. But if you're not and you need the fetish or the fetish is affecting the intimacy, then no.
So I'm starting to think because of these calls we've heard that these things have a certain momentum.
Oh, yeah.
And that once they get just a little water and some fertilizer,
they take over.
They start to take over.
It's a little house of terror, a little house of horrors.
Right.
Little shop of horrors.
Right.
Thank you.
So instead of saying, well, it's your birthday, I'll let you put on the stiletto heels and the backless panties. Instead, maybe you should say, no, this is a horse we're keeping in the barn.
Yeah. And if it has to come out, maybe we got to look into things first.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going, Drew?
I guess, let's think about it for one quick second. But what if both of them had something gratifying out of it?
I think if both of them have something that's gratifying about it and it doesn't involve strangulation or some sort of branding with a hot brand or poker or something.
Just those two things.
Yeah. If it doesn't involve doing any potential damage to anybody. And they're able to sort of contain it, then so be it. Although we both know that one's going to spin out.
That will break down
just
too.
A little bit, too.
Because, again, as we've always said, they don't occur as an isolated phenomenon.
Right.
So.
All right. Someone's been on hold for 103 minutes.
All right.
12-year-old, for the love of Christ, Drew. Anna?
Hey.
Hey, Anna. You're 12.
Yeah, I'm 12.
Oh, my.
Calling from St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Is that a two-hour time difference?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I didn't even know. I was telling Drew this. I was 30. I didn't know if New York was 3 hours ahead or behind. Like, the time differences, I couldn't get out of. I went from North Hollywood to Van Nuys to Valley Village. Those are like my three, you know, it was about as far as I got.
Oh, nice.
I had no idea what the central and eastern and mountain. All right,
well,
baby.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't know the other time zones. I'm
I know.
Really confused
you're,
about that.
You're 12. You'll be 13 and a half and you'll know. I was 30.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm bulimic, and there's, like, all of these people trying to help me.
Yeah.
And my parents are real nice and caring about this stuff, and they, like, take me to therapy. But the therapists, they, like, get on my nerves so much.
Yeah, that's good.
In what way? Why?
Well, they just push it so much.
Push what?
Like, the issues that I have. Like, people in my class. They think that they used to be all my friends. I used to be pretty popular. Yeah. And but then
now,
they
bulimia is throwing up, right? Or am I screwing this up again?
Binging and purging. Yeah,
yeah, binging.
Yeah, you binge a lot and then you purge and it's like this cycle. And then once you purge, you feel bad. And then you binge again. Yeah, it's weird.
All right.
And so like. Oh, okay. You want to speak? Okay.
Well, no, I'm just...
She has to be so perfect for everybody.
Yeah. What's up? Your parents, are they doctors and attorneys or something?
Oh, no. My mom doesn't work and my dad's a lawyer.
That would be an attorney.
That would be an attorney, right?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, look,
sorry,
that could have got half a no, but it didn't need three no's.
Okay.
Oh, no. Lawyer, no. He's an attorney.
Oh, sorry. I'm 12. Give me slack, okay?
Oh, baby doll. Yeah, you're 12 going on 15. I don't want to go nuts, you know, with the 25,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. So your dad's an attorney. See, attorneys, they put a lot of pressure on people they live with, you know.
They do. They're really kind of bothersome. My dad, like, he'll try to butt in on therapy. Like, I'll be talking with my therapist while I'm, like, half screaming at her, kind of cursing sometimes. And, like, he'll butt in saying, is everything all right? And then he'll, like, try to check on me and, like, examine me. And when I get home, he'll be like, Anna, why were you yelling? And all that crap.
Yeah, well, look, he's here's the problem with attorneys. Hold on a second. Who's worse, attorneys or publicists, in terms of entitlement? Like, attorneys, well, they don't have attorneys think they're the smartest person in the room. Wherever they are, they think they're the effing smartest person in the room. And they think, because their whole thing is like, well, it's not really about being right. It's just about being able to talk someone else out of something or talk a third person into agreeing with me. It's not really about who did what or who's right or who deserves this or what anyone deserves. I'm a genius. That's it. And then whereas the publicists just have this horrible, huge sense of entitlement where they think they are the celebrity that they're representing. That's it. But they're both horrible, wretched people. But the point is attorneys will give their kids eating disorders, I think, and in general disorders, maybe more so than any profession. I would say publicists, but they're all gay, so they don't have children.
Well, the experience I have sometimes with attorneys is because they're geniuses, emotions and emotional process don't exist.
Right.
As far as they're concerned, if you try to educate them, it's rejected outright. That's hocus pocus.
Right.
How dare
you? All right, baby doll.
If my dad heard you, he'd be like going crazy right now. He'd ground me for another 5 months.
All right. Listen, you're 12 years old.
Yeah.
And you want us to cut you some slack for being 12. How about you cut yourself some slack for being 12 and start being 12?
Okay.
And give your therapist some slack, too. I mean, this is a treatable condition. It's a chronic condition, but it's a serious condition, and you can die from it. So the fact that your parents are taking you to therapy is a very positive thing. The fact they're participating
your
is
dad,
positive.
Your dad's not the world's greatest guy, but
listen
to the show for 10 minutes. Most dads aren't even in the picture.
Right. You should be very pleased your dad is not only in the picture, but is supporting the treatment and paying for the treatment.
Yes.
And eating disorder treatment is a cumbersome process. It takes multiple people over long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and cooperate with it. They're not doing it. The things they're saying, the recommendations they're making are not sort of casual. It's not just, you know, by way of sort of amusing themselves. These are really serious issues that they are trying to help you manage.
Yes, let them help you.
Yes.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah! Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number
7-11-7-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11-11
I can tell you, but I have to kill you. So, I'm saying Dr. Drew, you know, I'm draining the main vein. And I said, it's all the problems. I was like, well, you in what army, but it was all the problems. Am I right, buddy?
Some of that.
Some of the weather traffic coming up. Skinner superset.
Yeah, this is me.
All right, Dave. Dave's done. Dave says, girlfriend, complete multiple orgasms. I wish I was in on that. 17, I was humble. Multiple. The only multiple orgasm I've ever seen was a humble. 7:24 weather and traffic coming up. Anyway, Dave, seven reminds me of a story. Hold on a second. 17 years old, and I'm walking in some of them. Now, I'm 17, so you imagine me, and I'm some of them, and I'm looking around this place, and I'm looking at guys who are 24, 7:26, 7:27. And I'm saying to myself, hey, and I'm thinking, you ever have those days when your mouth says, but your brain's going, 7:27, 27 after 7. Weather and traffic coming up. The news coming up. You know what I mean? I mean, you're thinking, but your mouth says, 7:28, 20 after 7. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's get back with Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You ready to hop back on the phone with Dave? Nobody wants to hear it.
Okay, Dave. Dave 17.
No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about the engineer Anderson. No, because he says, and you know, when you see him in person, he's like, but then as soon as you turn your back on the guy, it's like, you know what I mean? Where's, you know, engineer Chris over here. And engineer Chris is like, and I'm always like, hey, Chris, and Chris is like, and I'm like, and he's like, Where's engineer Anderson's like, and you know the thing about Anderson, dude, talking out both sides of his mouth. One side of his mouth is like, hey, but the other side is like, he's two-faced, Drew. Do you know what I'm saying by two-faced? When he's in the room with you, he's like, hey, but as soon as you know, he's hanging out with his buddies. Drinking a beer, like, hey, what do you think of Adam Carolla? Adam Carolla gets my salama.
7:31. You're very close. You're really close.
7:31. It's 31 after show. That, am I right?
Yeah. It's almost out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right,
that is radio, man. That is radio.
It's good radio.
Yeah, it's great radio. That's why, listen, they train you to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you train. Right? Broadcaster. Broadcaster school.
Dave?
Yeah. Am I on the line now?
Yeah, you're here.
Sorry,
buddy.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Anderson was talking smack.
I want to start off by saying, Adam, you are a genius comedian. I don't mean to give any arse, but, you know.
Well, you
give credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
Drew, you're pretty smart. I'll give you that.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, as far as my situation, my girlfriend tends to claim that she has, on average, about 3 to a max of about 5 orgasms during sex.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, I'm above average, but I'm not gigantic. And
no, that would have nothing to do with it.
Well, I mean, if I was just wondering, as far as you guys are concerned, because, you know, my friends.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't believe them.
Their girlfriend has, you know, orgasms maybe 1 every 10 times during sex, and I look her straight in the face.
Right. No,
let's put on hold. Let's bring it up. All right, put on hold. All right.
Dave, bogus. Yeah. Bogus.
Anyway, put the hold. Put him on
hold.
All right, let's not even give
it.
Here's the deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hold on
a
second. I've seen Drew punch the mic before, like every goddamn night, but this was... right hook to the body, fall with the left uppercut.
Yeah, yeah. This is two.
It's
two fisted.
Like two-pronged attack.
Top out.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. As we've often discussed, is that most women in their late teens and early 20s do not have orgasm during intercourse, though there's a subset of about 10% or less that have multiple orgasm and ruin it for the rest and have somewhere between 3 and like 20. Some of them will orgasm repeatedly during intercourse, and some have like a couple or three, which seems to be Dave's girlfriend, alleged girlfriend. So there's this huge diversity of how women respond during sex, and most women throughout their life will not have orgasm during intercourse, but only have it with some sort of direct stimulation. And no one really discusses this except this show, strangely enough. And then women that have multiple orgasms thinks that their friends that have difficulty having orgasms are somehow lying about it or like not telling the truth or ashamed to talk about it. Well, and the ones that don't have an orgasm or don't master it because it just doesn't work, doesn't do anything for them. And we don't help those girls along to how to, you know, ultimately function sexually in their relationships. It's ridiculous.
So what do we do?
We help. I think they just help women communicate amongst themselves and build a language that they can use amongst themselves to support one another, explain to one another about what they
do. You know that language is going to go, Drew.
Oh, God.
That one Sally's going to say, Subala. And then Cindy's going to reply, Subala. And then Cindy's going to say, well, I have a, you know, multiple. That's what it's going to sound like, Drew.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Let's,
Yeah, there you go.
Avia? Is that Avia there? Avia?
Avia.
Yeah.
You're
15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hey. So you want to know my questions?
That would be good.
Okay. I have two of them. Well, yesterday I lost my virginity. And, well, the first one is I want to know when the reality will sink in.
The reality of what?
Of losing it. Like, I still can't believe it. You know?
You're in denial of it.
Oh.
Well, not in denial, just like kind of shocking.
All right. Well, was it traumatic?
No.
Okay. Well, reality sunk in.
Do you know when it will?
Yeah, May of 2021.
No, I mean, like, I don't know, just...
The fact that you are dissociative, you dissociate from the experience to the point where you cannot accept it as something that actually happened.
Yeah, it's a bad sign.
Yeah, it's not a good sign. It means you're not ready for this. I would say slow down, chalk this one up to some sort of experience, put it on the shelf for a little while, realize you did it, and just hang out for a couple of years here and wait till you really are quite a bit older and have a stable relationship and then think about doing
it. Who'd you do this with?
My boyfriend.
Oh, how long have you guys been going out?
3 months.
How old is he?
15.
Yeah. He kind of got forced into it, huh?
Well, not forced, but...
But, I mean, he really pushed you. Know.
Not really. He just asked a few times.
And begged.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what we're talking about.
All right.
I know he didn't want to violate you or make you feel pushed into something. Of course, you know, he's a good guy. I understand.
Yeah, but how do you... once you sort of, you know... Puncture a hole in the membrane that. Let's look at the hymen. Use that as a little bit of a metaphor. Let's look at that hymen as more of just a dam that you now backed your car into and punctured a hole into it.
Yeah,
and the water's just coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to stop that water now.
Well, it's hard for the guy. It's not so hard for the woman.
Well, that's true, but it makes it hard for the woman because the. It makes it so hard for the guy that he won't leave her alone.
But he already wouldn't leave her alone. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying it is.
Yeah, I understand. Now they're going to be tied together in a way.
Can you stop? I mean, can you not have sex with him anymore?
Well, yeah.
Okay. It'll be smart. The kinds of feelings you're going to have, the kind of way you're going to be connected to him is going to be overly intense for 15, I would say. And you know, maybe you're ready for it, maybe you're not. It sounds like you're not, just the way you're reacting to it.
You know, the problem with guys, really, is the first experience for the girl is usually so underwhelming.
Marginal, yeah.
So marginal at best that it becomes like a bad restaurant that your boyfriend keeps wanting you to go back to. And you're like, I threw up last time I went there. And come on, let's go try it again. And you're like, it's got a D rating
out
front of the winner.
Please, my favorite. Oh, please. I buy a lot more there.
Let's get some drive-thru or something.
Then he gets moody and irritable. If he
right. I mean, but you know what I mean? It's like you don't want to go back to a restaurant you had a bad experience at, you know? And guys could never figure this out. But if they, they just gave the chick a nice 20-minute back rub said, oh, no, this is all part of the package. This is what intercourse is. Yeah. It starts off with 20-minute back rub.
Yeah, they can't do it.
Then it's 10 minutes of just compliments about your nails. And then it's into a good 20 minutes of oral sex.
That's actually a good point. We don't teach the guys what the women.
Yeah,
because all we teach guys is that they're the same. That what the girl wants is what you want. Same thing.
You got some guy with a pizza face retainer. He's all knees and elbows. He's on top of you, basically having a seizure. And you're supposed to go running back for seconds for that. Yeah, get that massage in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now you dangle a little carrot out there on that stick. Yes,
at least there's something in it for them.
Yeah. All right.
Have a good time.
Let's take a break.
Zalda.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Hellboy, Ron Perlman, in here tomorrow night. We'll talk to him about that. And let's go to the phones now and speak to Zach, who's 17. Zach?
Hey, how you doing?
Zach's been on hold for 112 minutes. Yeah, buddy. You have a fear of girls.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Well, let me ask this to my colleague, Dr. Drew, when he's done yawning. When you have a fear of women, aren't you sort of generally a shy person?
I think usually it
You're
boils
captain
down...
captain of the speech and debate team. Although, I mean, every 17-year-old guy has trouble with women.
Well, what you're building a case for is of a social phobia. There's some sort of either a problem with social skills or an actual social phobia.
Yeah.
I also generally feel that more often than not, there's fundamental issues of self-esteem.
Yes.
At the problem here.
Absolutely. Zach?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even breathe around them.
Okay. Well, how are you when you're not around women? Are you doing okay in school?
No.
No. Do you have friends?
Yeah. Few.
Why
is that funny?
Troublemakers?
No, not really. No. They're good guys.
Oh, okay. And what's wrong with you in school? Why aren't you doing well?
I don't know, man. I try. But I turn everything in, but I just get bad grades, and I don't.
All right, well, that's what I would do. It's like you're not being that. You're just not that smart for school. Not your thing. Okay, so here's the thing. The best way to get confidence with women is to get confidence in general, which means doing something well. You know,
that you feel good about, that you felt that you have worth.
It can be sports. It can be art. It can be acting. It could be playing an instrument. It could be anything other than being a good person. They'll turn on you. Is there anything you like, Zach, that you're good at?
Basketball.
There you go.
Now, can you play for the team at school?
No, there's a bunch of black dudes, and they're all really good.
So you're not good enough to play.
You're not good. You just like it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what about something you excel at?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, how about finding something you excel at? You feel very passionate about something you really are into.
I mean, here's the whole thing, fellas. If you're not good with the ladies, do not sit around and focus on not being good with the ladies. Focus on being good with everything else, and the ladies will magically find you, right. Or at least it'll work its way out.
Right.
Which is, all right, you're not doing good with the ladies. Good. Focus on your career.
Right.
Focus on school. Focus Absolutely. On your hobbies. Focus on getting good at something, because really that's what women are looking for. And people think, women, they're like the rich guy. They're like the rock star. They're like the actor. No, they just like guys that are good at stuff, that are doing their own stuff and not focusing on them. Quite
right.
honestly.
Right.
There's nothing more attractive than a guy who's just focusing on his career, his life, his muse, his art, his school, his whatever, and then they just see you busily working away. You just focusing on them just makes it worse.
Right. It makes you feel, I mean, like you've said, they want somebody to sort of make them feel safe and lead and that kind of thing oftentimes.
I think they also like the idea that they like not being noticed to a certain extent, level.
They don't want to take care of somebody. They want to be taken care of many times.
What I'm saying is there's nothing better than a woman spotting a guy before the guy spots the woman, and then the woman spotting a guy when he's immersed in something
right.
that he's into.
True.
Working out, yeah. you know, playing his instrument, whatever's cool to them.
Yep, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
For me, it'd be napping.
Oh, yeah, they'd spot that in a second.
They see the passion.
With which you...
With the vigor and the verve in which I nap. Oh, yes.
And Zach, if you really cannot function socially, there are medications also that can sometimes help you get over the hump, so to speak.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been masturbating since the age of 5, and kind of wanted to know, like, if it was because of, like, my surroundings or if it was just a mental thing.
Because you're
a family? Mental thing is usually because of your surroundings. What happened in your surroundings?
I would hear my parents having sex, like, in the room over. Well, not my parents, but my mom and her boyfriend.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that can mess with you a little bit.
Yeah. They were over you. You were downstairs. They were upstairs.
They were next door to me.
Okay. Yeah,
she put the word stairs in there. All right, that's bad times.
Yeah, when kids get overtly sexualized at a young age, it kind of affects their wiring a little bit. So
I think we always lived in like 800 square foot dumps. So I think, but then my parents had the decency never to get laid.
Right.
So it sort of worked its way out.
Right. You're lucky, see? You thought you were miserable.
Although, I heard, when I was in one of my dad's crappy North Hollywood apartments, I heard a woman get the bejesus banged out of her for all night.
By the neighbors or something?
Yeah, and I thought she was sick.
Oh, I remember you told the story. The neighbors are sick.
I mean, all I heard was, just, I mean, you know, from 12:30 at night till 3:30 in the morning, it was just, I mean, it was like crazy. You know, these crappy 70s, you know, cardboard boxes, you know, with this long adjoining wall. You know, apartments suck, by the way. It had like a long hallway. It was like the entire length of the apartment. You know, if you put your fist to it, it'd be in the other person's living room, you know? And this chick just got, you know, but first off, they're living in this crappy apartment, too. So they're probably high. Or have some sort of mental defect or something like my family, and they're just getting the bejesus banged out of them at 4 a.m. And I'm just sleeping in the living. You know, it was a one bedroom or something.
You came and asked your dad about it. You said, right?
I said we got to call a doctor. This woman is sick.
What'd your dad say?
I pictured her sort of grabbing her abdomen and moaning in pain. All this is, you know, when you're a kid, that's all you can do is like, she probably ate too much
sense of it.
She ate too much cotton candy. Now she has a tummy ache.
What did you finally
realize?
She must
have been to Disneyland.
When did you finally realize that there was a problem, that what it was?
I remember my dad giving me a sort of a half an answer, like, maybe a little more than I needed, but nothing too much. And I remember thinking, yeah, I see. Yeah. You're going to start having that with your kids, Drew. They're at that weird age where stuff starts dawning on them, like halfway into the conversation, you know.
My kids have the decency to go, oh, no, 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 or just laugh hysterically.
Yeah, I tried. All right, now where were we? Oh, Jennifer.
We're taking a break.
Yeah, but what's up with Jennifer?
All right. So Jennifer? What's the question, Jennifer? What are you asking us?
So is it perfectly fine and perfectly healthy that I started that young?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Yeah, just here's the question. Can you maintain stable relationships? The relationship is
no,
all
I can't.
This,
that's the thing too.
Well, but again, that may have more to do with the crazy mom and the God knows what kind of family system you had there, and the mom that would choose to have sex in the room next to you and let you hear it.
No.
The fact is, problems we have tends to emerge most clearly. Anderson, relax for a second. In relationships, and if you can have stable relationships that are satisfying over time, you're doing okay. And if you could try to force yourself into that, to stay, you know, easy, choose good people, stay in the relationships, and you're able to do that, then don't worry about it. Yeah. If not, get some treatment.
Droning, true. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, that's the show. God bless you for listening. Ron Perlman, Hellboy, in here tomorrow night.
Kids saw that movie twice in one weekend.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. One side of his mouth is like, hey, some of the law, but the other side is like, hello.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.